We're going to go to MLB.com, and it's Barry Bloom. Barry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Marty. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I got the tweets going, so people are up and blaming the manager, the coaches, and everybody else. So what can I tell you?
It's a lot. They got a lot into 160 characters right there.
It's true. Hey, pleasure to have you on this morning. And as we say, whenever anything happens in Major League Baseball, you're the guy that has his hand on the pulse of what is going on. A new commissioner, Rob Manfred. Take us through the process. They actually had a number of votes here. What was the controversy, and where are we now?
Well, I think there was just a split among some of the owners who were not in favor of Rob as the commissioner, and they put up Tom Werner as an alternative candidate. But you know, as Bud does, he massaged it very well, let that side have its say, went through the balloting process. When it became clear that Rob was within a vote, they just worked the room until they got some people to swing over. And you know, Rob was basically anointed. I mean, it turned out to be, I think, a much smoother process than anybody really imagined.
Well, what was the objection to Manfred? And I know Jerry Reinsdorf was very vocal about it. Can you summarize that?
First of all, I just think that nobody's in favor of everything, you know, especially in as big and as diverse a group of owners as there are in Major League Baseball. And I think Jerry just wanted a different direction. He didn't want more of the same with Rob basically upholding Bud's legacy and moving onward in the same fashion. Plus, I think there was a feeling among a small group that the going to ownership in 1992 and pulling Sealand out of the Brewers worked very well for the sport and the growth of the sport over the last 22 years, and they were more comfortable with a baseball guy who was in ownership rather than a lawyer who has worked the trenches.
Manfred was very much involved with labor negotiations. There's a lot of labor peace right now. Do they want to? I would imagine that the last thing they want is more trouble with the union. I take it that was in Manfred's favor that he could work things out.
Well, evidently among the group at large. I mean, remember, and you could take it from a point of view of you go back to 2000 when they had the vote to create Major League Baseball Advanced Media, and essentially it was the small market teams that really paved the way for it, and the larger market teams voted against it. And for the primary reason that they decided that, as opposed to what they did with local television years ago, they were going to have an even revenue split on the Internet, which basically has held true for the last 12 years since it's been, or 14 years since it's been in it was formed, and you basically had the same thing here where the smaller market teams, you've got half the league that's taking revenue sharing money, so you just start right there. There's 15 teams right off the bat that were going to vote to continue the system. And then you had breakdown among the large market teams on who was going to do what. The large market teams always look in their own favor, and they don't want to split revenue. And they didn't want to split revenue when it came to BAM. And it also, but when you look back on it now, even Reinsdorfer said he never thought it was going to work at the time and voted against it. He's one of the big proponents of MLB.com and, of course, the MLB network also.
Wow. Well, Rob Manfred is the new commissioner of baseball. He is handpicked by Bud Selig. Now, there are things that they said after this meeting pretty interesting about the pace of the game being too slow. They want to reach out to young people. They have an agenda now that they've given Manfred. What is this agenda? Is this new?
Well, no, because Bud has had Joe Garagiola Jr. working on pace of game issues all year. I've talked to him on and off. I run into him in the Phoenix office from time to time. We talk about this. And he's been analyzing rule changes and things that can be done. And really, if some of the rules that are on the books are adjusted, and followed, you could quicken up the pace of the game. I mean, it doesn't take any, you know, real brain power to understand that, you know, if you keep the batter from going in and out of the batter's box 50 times per at bat, and you make the pitchers throw within the time limit when nobody's on base, or else a ball is awarded, you're going to quicken up the game. And I think that, you know, from my point of view, give the managers two or three times out to the mound for the game. I mean, this system, which was adopted in the 1960s of two times a pitcher, was adopted in a time when you had two or three pitchers in a game. Now you have six or seven pitchers in a game, and it just doesn't work. So, I mean, there's three things right there that can quicken the pace of the game. And I think you're going to see rule changes or strengthening of rules on that in the offseason when you come to the general manager's meeting, just like you did in this past offseason with the adoption of replay and the collision rule of the plate, and all that's going to continue to be tweaked too.
Well, pretty good. Hey, do you see anything on the Pete Rose issue? I know Seelig, I don't know if he softened on it or what, but the Pete Rose issue is always floating around every time you think of a new commissioner. Well, what do you think could happen there?
Well, you know, Pete has the right within his agreement that was written with Giamatti to apply for reinstatement, and he can do it every year. And I think he just sort of gave up on it the last time when it came close, because really I'm not sure that Bud was as much against it as it was that when he went to the Living Hall of Famers at that time, which included a lot of guys who have since passed away, except for the small group of, you know, former Reds who played with him and Mike Schmidt, Philly, who played with him. There really wasn't a very big contingent of players that wanted Rose in the Hall of Fame, and Bud was not going to buck that group. There was supposed to be a meeting to discuss it. It never happened. Then Pete added to the fuel again with monetary problems popping up in casinos in Las Vegas, selling his stuff on shopping channels. And I think everybody decided, look, this is a time bomb. Let's not even deal with it. So I think, yeah, when there's a new commissioner in, Pete may ask for his whole case to be reviewed again. And then we'll see if that changes at all with Manfred as the commissioner.
You know, Barry Bloom with us, MLB.com. And, you know, through my lifetime, you know, Ford Frick was a commissioner. I don't remember Happy Chandler. I certainly was alive when he was a commissioner. And you go through General Eckert and people, Peter Ueberroth and Bowie Kuhn and everything that we've had. Is Rob Manfred going to stand into this list of commissioners, some legendary, some not? Will he create his own legacy, do you think, or is he just here to sort of take the mantle of what Seelig did and just listen to the owners? Do you think Rob Manfred will go down and say, wow, what a commissioner, look what he did?
Well, let's put it this way, Marty. You know as well as I do that from the simplest level, when you run, you know, a writer into an editorship or a coach into the managerialship, the personality of the person changes.
Right.
And any time that you suspect a guy is going to handle things in a certain way, when they get into that role of power, either they abuse it or they use it to enhance the situation, they become even better. And there's no way we're going to know this until Rob gets into office and exercises his own authority. I mean, Rob is a strong person. He's got his own ideas. You know, he was under the tutelage of Bud for quite a number of years. I think he's going to continue to lean on Bud. I don't expect that Bud to go away by any means. He's going to be Commissioner Emeritus. He may even have his office. He'll be still consulted on for a number of things. But the thing is, he won't be there on the day-to-day to make decisions. And he never really liked to do that anyway. He liked the group to do that. So it'll be interesting to see how Rob does as a consensus maker. And I think, you know, he's a younger guy. I was laughing about it yesterday. You know, I shot him off an email to congratulate him. And then he sent me back a response, THX, period. So, and then I shot it back, LOL. Funny about the brevity, I'm sure you got a million of these. Good luck. But, I mean, the point of the matter to me is that this is the first time I've had an email exchange with the commissioner or potential commissioner of baseball in all the years I've done this, because Bud doesn't use email.
Okay.
So what does that tell you about where the sport is going?
All right.
We had a thing in New York years ago where PBS did a special with Bud and David Stern on the stage at Columbia University. And David described the beginning of his day, and he gets in his car. He's driving to the office from Westchester, wherever he lives. The first thing he does, he goes through his email and reads his email, has all his email and all the stuff done before he even gets to the office. And Bud is basically, well, I read the clips. I mean, this is it's going to be a diametrically different dimension to where we go in the future. And I really do think Bud has left the sport, by and large, in pretty good shape, certainly financially. And I think it's Bud's job to take, I mean, Rob's job to take it into the 21st century and move it along to where it needs to go. As, you know, we're getting towards, 2020 and 2025.
Good analysis. No, that's probably the most accurate analysis. I had a chance to sit with Larry Bowa yesterday. You know him, of course. You've known
of course.
Him. Yeah, in San Diego, you wrote the beautiful book about him. And I said, what would you, if you could pick up the phone and call Rob Manfred, what would you tell him? And I'll just give a preview of it, a little tease of it. He said, do something about the DH. He doesn't like the DH not being used equally.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this on the show. I mean, that I think is one of the major things that that needs to be taken care of. You know, I've gone as a traditionalist, and you know, we go back. We were kind of, you're a little older than me, but we go back to that era when there was no DH in baseball. And I've gone 180 degrees. I don't want to see the pitchers hit in baseball anymore. First of all, they're not equipped to do it. They're susceptible to injury. The strategies that have to be used in the lineup are outmoded. It creates a tremendous imbalance in both leagues, because at this point, nobody's going to sign Brian McCann, Albert Pujols, go down the list in the National League, because at the back end of your mega contract with them, you know, he can't DH. So, I mean, those guys are always going to go to the American League and excuse the payroll higher in the American League and excuse the competitive imbalance in the National League. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but watching the whole league, I mean, I've seen every team this year in play during the regular season except the Cardinals and Tampa Bay. And I think that the National League doesn't have even one of the top six teams in Major League Baseball at this point. Now, that's not saying the team that could get to the World Series couldn't defeat the team in the World Series. But I think that overall, in balance, the National League has to adopt the DH. There's only two leagues in the world that don't use it at this point. The National League and the Central League in Japan, this is a train that has left the station. It is never going back. And you need, I agree totally with Bowen, it's not the first or the last time. You really need to adopt it and normalize it throughout Major League Baseball.
Wow. All right. Great conversation. Let's see what Rob Manfred does with that. Barry Bloom, MLB.com. Barry, thank you so much. And I love having you on, and we're going to try to do this on a regular basis.
That'd be great. What are we going to do about the Giants, Marty? I mean, we haven't even talked about that.
You just have to win a game, and that's all it is. You got to win a game and play good baseball, and this whole thing is so close. With 41 to go, and you get so frustrated because they've gone through 58 of the worst games in history. But every day is a new day, and you win a few, and you get to September, and who knows what happens. That's the story of it. So I'm one day at a time. That's where I am.
Well, and then Dodger pitching staff keeps going down, too. So.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Have a great day, and I appreciate you coming on, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Take care.
All right. That is Barry Bloom, MLB.com. Very good. Very good analysis, I thought, of Rob Manfred and what may be coming. Barry's right about the DH. Maybe it is a train that left the station. This is something we could talk about, 808 KMBR.